T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Tuesday. No Randy today, tomorrow, or Thursday. Randy will be back on Friday. Willie P filling in for Randy. And a lot to get to here in the 11 o'clock hour. We'll get to an NFL no huddle in just a minute. Going to get back into the Braves discussion with Folty, but also just Major League Baseball in general. And it's hard to kind of put your finger on how to feel about baseball, because yesterday at this time, you know, it was pretty worrisome about the positive tests with the Marlins and their series getting postponed, and then the Phillies doing the same thing. And I know that they're not playing tonight, but we didn't know what they were going to do across the rest of Major League Baseball. We still really don't, but we do know that the Braves played last night, and they're going to play again tonight. It still all kind of seems tenuous at this point. I mean, it's still kind of up in the air, because we still haven't gotten like a definitive answer from Rob Manfred about what the protocol is or when too many positives would be too many positives. But I feel better right now than I did 24 hours ago. And maybe that was an overreaction 24 hours ago. Maybe it was a prisoner of the moment. I'm not sure. But maybe baseball happening last night made me feel better about the likelihood of it continuing on for this week and the season. But I don't know. Yesterday was a pretty scary little blip on the radar for baseball's return.
But I even go back to today, Andy, and say that, you know, we've gotten, I think, I don't want to say mixed information, but a mix of stories, positive and negative. The fact that the Phillies and Yankees got postponed out of what was called the abundance of caution is not a good thing. But the fact that the Phillies got all their tests back negative is a good thing. And the other part of this too is, of course, the Marlins, who people are very, very concerned about. They had 4 more positive tests today. Like, I'm more concerned about what's happening with that team and how that happened, as opposed to anything else going on right now. It looks like the Phillies and Yankees are going to play those games in New York. Maybe they play 2 doubleheaders Thursday, Friday. I don't know, or Wednesday, Thursday, I should say. I don't know if that's feasible, or if they try to find a common off day later on in the year to try and make up the odd game that they have between them. But as far as the Marlins go, you know, I'm not sitting here and saying that they did anything nefarious like what we saw with Nashville and FC Dallas. But if I'm Rob Manfred, I think very, very long and hard about maybe excluding them from competition for 5-day, 7-day period, if anything, just because of the fact that it just doesn't seem to me that it's safe to have them on the field. I mean, and you know, this gets into all the stuff about, you know, should the players be wearing masks or not or what, and I think neither you nor I are smart enough to make that determination. But I do think that the Major League Baseball still has a problem on their hands, and I think you're seeing the ripple effects in other sports, including football.
The one funny thing, and you pointed this out last night, we were texting, is by not playing last night, the Marlins are in first place in the NL East.
Weird.
The Braves lost to the Rays, and the Marlins somehow went 2-1 in their opening series, and so they're in first place right now. I mean, the longer they wait, the longer they'll stay in first place. I'm not sure. We'll get back into baseball, that story with the Marlins, and also the DFA of Mike Foltynewicz after 3 1/3 pretty bad innings last night. That might have been it for him as an Atlanta Brave. Say what you want to say about Folty, make the predictions you want to make about the Braves this season. I don't think anybody predicted that happening last night. Even those of us who thought Folty was on a very short leash, I didn't think the leash was that short. We'll get back to that in 20 minutes. The Wendy Zone coming up at 11:40. One quick note of good news. I've got very good news for you.
Yes.
Or at least good news for me, and especially good news for my wife. Yesterday was the last ultrasound appointment that we had leading into we're in the home stretch. We've officially reached the point of the pregnancy where it's any day now, period. But the final ultrasound proved a couple of things. Number one, Lily is 100% officially a girl, so that's good.
Very good.
Hadn't checked on that in a couple months, so that's good. So all that wallpaper that I put up yesterday doesn't have to come down or get covered up by something else. So that's good news. But the most important news, and I texted this to Randy yesterday because I knew that he would be very happy to hear this. The baby's head size is in the 50th percentile, right in the middle.
Ooh.
Perfectly average head size. And you know me, you've seen me before in person. Mm-hmm. Anyone who's listened to the show knows this to be true. My head is not in the 50th percentile.
You complain
I'm probably
about hats
closer
a lot.
To the 90th or whatever. I've got a big one. So baby Lily appears to have a normal size head.
So you're saying
God.
She gets that from Ashley, not
you? Yes.
W.
And again, I hope she gets as many physical traits from Ashley as she could possibly get. I think I'm a fine looking fella, but I'd make a weird looking dude. So or I'd make a weird looking lady. So hopefully she looks more like her mom than
writing
her dad.
Writing that down and for takeaways of the day.
Her head is normal sized. That is what is most important. Hallelujah. Let's get to an NFL no huddle.
We're going no huddle
with the midday show. No huddle.
The best the NFL has to offer.
Let's go now. Let's go.
NFL No Huddle brought to you by R.S. Andrews. Keep cool. Get an R.S. Andrews Precision AC tune-up. Another way they make you smile. And it's been an interesting morning. Players are reporting to camp today all across the NFL. We've seen videos of Falcons players reported to Flowery Branch. Saw Deion Jones walk in the building earlier today, put a bunch of hand sanitizer on his hand, and get set. Get in there, get tested, and then over the next week or so kind of get underway and actually start training. Weird training camp. They don't start training today. Normally, the first day of training camp, we're broadcasting live from up there. There's fans everywhere, and you get to see them get out on the field and catch some passes, run some drills, do some nearly football-like things. Today, that's not going to be the case. The story of the day, though, across the league, is the players that are deciding not to play. We've had five New England Patriots opt out of this season, Dante Hightower being the highest profile of them. We had Andre Smith of the Baltimore Ravens opt out and decide not to play for Baltimore. And I have to imagine over the next week or so, we'll probably see some more guys decide to do this. But the Patriots so far have been the team that have been hit most heavily by players opting out.
Yeah, how does Cam Newton got to feel right now? The fact that that defense is devoid of a lot of the playmakers they had a year ago, when you think about no Dante Hightower, no Kyle Van Noy, no Jamie Collins. I mean, this is a situation now for him where I don't want to say that the Patriots are tanking for Trevor, because I don't think Bill Belichick would ever, number one, admit that, nor two, actually take steps that were marked enough to make it look like they were doing that. But it almost feels like the Patriots are trying to play for the seller in that division, which might be difficult because there's another team in that division that I think is going to occupy that, and that's the New York Jets. But I do believe that these decisions, again, I almost feel like they're being made by the reactions that we're seeing from what we're seeing with baseball. I don't think it's anything necessarily that the NFL is doing. Like, I'm more than willing to put all the blame Manfred's way than I am for anything that the NFL is doing, because I think the NFL has done probably a lot better job when it comes to the directives that they've put forth towards its players and the actionable consequences that they put in their protocols.
The thing that I like that the NFL has done, and I mean baseball did this too, because there was a proposal to go to a bubble and the players didn't want to do that. But the NFL has listened to what the players have wanted really carefully throughout this process, which doesn't always happen. The players wanted that long 3-week ramp up period. They're going to get it. Absolutely right. They're going to get it, which I think is smart. They wanted all of the testing daily once they started showing up to camp, and they've gotten that. And hopefully it's enough. I still don't understand how everything that needs to happen in an NFL training camp can happen in
difficult.
An even remotely normal way, given all the protocols that they're going to take. But, you know, ideally the guys have been tested thoroughly enough and they've taken enough personal responsibility to stay away from the ability to get infected that they can get out there and play football and not spread the disease. But that's going to be challenging. They also, NFL, put in the rule where if you get caught doing something you're not supposed to do, you get fined for it. So maybe that'll deter players from stepping out as well.
it's the one of the oldest cliches when we talk about football. It's not a contact sport, it's a collegiate sport, and theoretically, in order to get yourself ready to play, you need to have some of those collisions. And you talked about how Randy said, you know, this is something that has happened as a progression of the way teams practice over the years. There's a lot less hitting that happens in practice than what used to happen, but there still has to be some. No,
yeah, you have to practice football to be able to play football, I would think. Right. But I mean, we'll see, because they're going to be a lot less of that than normal. Bill Belichick, by the way, compared Cam Newton to Miles Jones, who's a lacrosse star. Apparently, yeah. that's the comparison that he's making with Cam Newton, which is fine. There's always hard to compare Cam accurately to other athletes just because he's so unique.
That's just Belichick being deft. That's all he is.
Yeah. Being he's also a big lacrosse fan. Didn't he play lacrosse in college? Anyway, speaking of the Patriots, here's Jason McCourty from his podcast with his brother talking about being nervous about the season.
For me, as a fellow player, I go on social media, and it makes me very nervous to think there will be a season. I've gone on social media and seen guys posting a video in a nightclub. And it's just like, yo, like, we're attempting to play football. That's not going to be okay.
Yeah, that's the thing that's going to have to stop, is the individual making the decision that could ruin it all for everybody. And,
right.
You know, it's hard when you're 23 years old, you got all this money, you're not used to being told what to do, and you think to yourself, because everybody's got that ability to kind of come up with a reason why they can do what they are doing, but no one else should be doing what they are doing. And it's like, oh, it's one time. No, there's no one-offs this season. Everybody has to be incredibly diligent and careful. Otherwise, we end up with a situation like the Marlins. And the problem for the NFL is, if that happens, one game is a really big deal. Two games is an insanely big deal on an right. NFL calendar. The Marlins, I don't know how many games they're going to end up missing. I don't know how many games the Phillies are going to end up missing. Mm-hmm. But if something like this were to happen in the NFL, the trickle-down effect of a 16-game season, missing one of those games is a pretty big deal.
Jamie Collins with that money quote from the Lions, don't mess with our money, man. Just don't. And I think that's part of the – again, we talked about whether or not players are going to have to police each other. I think, again, it's probably going to be a lot more harsh when it comes to the NFL. And again, I'm not trying to make generalizations about one sport versus another, but I don't know why I have more confidence in NFL players having better discipline outside of that. I have no idea why. It's just, I guess, the way that I'm conditioned, the way that I've seen athletes from both sports act. For some reason, I have more confidence in the NFL than I do the Major League Baseball.
That's interesting. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I kind of don't have confidence in anyone, and maybe that's bad. Maybe
it's because you're a skeptic. It's because you're a perpetual skeptic.
I'm just being a skeptic. I just think every team is going to have guys that do stuff they're not supposed to do. Here's some other interesting NFL news from the last 24 hours, and this is some good news. Alex Smith.
Yes.
Now, it's going to not sound like good news, but it is. Placed on the physically unable to perform list, but that means he's back, or at least close to back from what he's dealt with, and I mean, anybody's followed the story at all. Maybe you've seen the ESPN documentary that they did on his return. This dude almost lost his leg. Like, literally, right. They almost had to amputate his leg. And you got to be, you got to have a tough stomach to watch some of the scenes from that documentary. His leg was disgusting. I mean, it was just mangled, the stuff they had to do to it. So for him to be possibly making a return to the, I hope he does. I hope he makes a team. I hope he throws another pass in the league. Because in terms of devastating injuries that we've seen guys come back from, this would be very near the top of the list. So good for him for all the work he's put in, and hopefully it comes to fruition.
For me, I just look at what was going on with his leg and all the apparatuses and things that you saw on his leg. Like for me, I just know that when Ron Rivera says he's part of the options that we're looking at, you know, maybe that could be a redemption quality. But again, he's 36 years old, which again, I think we were talking earlier, that's a lot older than I thought he was. So I don't know how viable an option he is, but if Dwayne Haskins isn't what they think in Washington, how awesome would it be for him to get another chance to play in the NFL? That would be just one of the greatest redemption stories we've ever seen.
Yeah, this dude's had a very unique career. Like, Alex, just think of all the different like intertwined storylines throughout his 15-year NFL life. First of all, being drafted number one overall instead of Aaron Rodgers. That's something that he carried around for a while. Then he got his job taken by Colin Kaepernick, and like Colin Kaepernick before all the other Colin Kaepernick, like football playing Colin Kaepernick. Like, that's a part of his storyline. And then kind of bouncing around a little bit, being steady, winning games, being solid. And then Patrick Mahomes replaces him in Kansas. It's insane. And then obviously this leg injury. It's pretty wild.
Very wild career.
The roller coaster ride that his career has been. Remember the DeAndre Baker and Quentin Dunbar story?
Yeah.
Like, that's still ongoing. Like, I remember we talked quite a bit about it when it first happened, and then there were reports that made it seem like they didn't do what they were accused of doing, and then there were reports of witnesses being paid off, so it kind of did look like they were accused of what they were accused of doing.
Good.
They've been placed on the commissioner's exempt list as the charges are pending. That story is not over, basically, is what I'm saying. I don't know what the hell's going to happen from here, but that didn't end.
Again, not knowing what we don't know about the details of that case, it's probably going to get a lot worse for both of those guys, unfortunately.
Raheem Mostert restructured his deal with the 49ers, by the way, so no trade there. Good for him. He gets to stay in the Kyle Shanahan system and probably get more money by being there. So a win-win for Raheem Mostert. All right, we'll come back. We'll get back into baseball. Mike Foltynewicz has been designated for assignment by the Atlanta Braves. What kind of pressure does that put on the pitching rotation? How much is it going to matter if baseball doesn't happen anyway? We'll get to all of that coming up next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
The outbreak of the coronavirus has affected us all here in Atlanta, and it's made some changes in the sports world as well. As the stories continue to break, we're here to give you the latest. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
20 minutes away from the Wendy Zone, Wendy Adams joins us at 11:40 every single today, every single day. Today, with more news from the bubble, the Lou Williams saga continues, including our very own iTeam report from Willie P, who tried out the Magic City Wings last night. So we'll get to that coming up in about 20 minutes.
I have thoughts.
Good. I mean, you know, you did the investigative journalism, and now we've got to find out what you uncovered. So we'll get there in 20 minutes with Wendy. One thing to keep an eye on today, as players are reporting to NFL training camp, quote unquote, there's really no training going on today. Guys are showing up and getting tested for COVID. And another thing that's happening today is some guys aren't showing up because they're opting out. Now, there have been some names. Like, don't get it twisted. Andre Smith is a big name with the Baltimore Ravens. Dante Hightower is a big name with the New England Patriots. But we haven't seen that blockbuster name yet. Right. I don't know if we're going to. But say a franchise quarterback or something like that decides that he doesn't want to be a part of this season, then
that's going to turn heads.
It is. And it's going to shift the narrative a little bit. I don't know if that's going to happen. I'm just saying, like, we've seen guys decide not to play, and everyone's entitled to make their own choice. You know, a lot of the guys that we've seen are a little older that have the money to be able to make this decision. Younger guys that don't have that money yet, you know, don't really have the flexibility to be able to do that. But I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see if at some point today we see a big name guy, somebody who is sort of a marquee type player in the NFL, decide to opt out.
Who would you say would have been the biggest star in baseball to do it? Would you say it would be Price or Posey?
Yeah, I think those two guys. I mean, obviously from a local perspective and me being very biased, Felix as well. But Felix is in a different situation, being that he hasn't been good for 2.5 years. Yeah, David Price. I mean, David Price, his high profile, the Dodgers, all of that. I would say David Price is the biggest.
And I'm not
name.
Saying it as a critical point. I'm just pointing out the if there's a there isn't a player on that level yet who we've seen from the NFL. I would say.
Sure. No, absolutely. Speaking of David Price, though, and getting back to the conversation we were having about baseball and Rob Manfred specifically, David Price, who did opt out of this season, took to Twitter last night and was very critical of what has happened over the last couple of days with the testing and with the Miami Marlins, and sort of doubled down on his decision. He said, yeah, this is why I'm not there. Because I didn't trust Major League Baseball to actually put the health of the players first. Here's Rob Manfred from an interview yesterday with Major League Baseball Network saying that's exactly what he's done.
Well, our first concern, obviously, is the health of the players and their families, and making sure that we do everything possible to minimize the spread of the virus among our employees. We've been fortunate so far. We've done tens of thousands of tests. Our positive rate has been 0.4%. So we feel like the protocols have worked pretty well.
And I do think that is important to remember. Like, as much as the Marlins situation is terrible, and it is, it's very bad. It was handled poorly. The protocol was skewed in a way that I guess they can get away with the decision that they made, even though it was reckless, and has now cost them baseball games. By and large, the testing has resulted in really low numbers, and if that continues, then this Marlins thing, like we hoped for yesterday, could just be a blip, and they come back and they're able to get the season going.
I have a problem with him saying our biggest concern is the health and safety of the players when they spent 3.5 months basically saying our biggest goal is to mitigate our losses financially.
Yes.
That to me seems somewhat inconsistent.
Look, in
the nicest way possible.
This is a criticism that we've made, that Randy and I have made on this show before, of Manfred versus Goodell. And not to like admonish Roger Goodell of any wrongdoing. He's done a lot of mediocre leadership, mediocre leading in his time as the commissioner of the NFL. Mm-hmm. But it seems as though Roger Goodell tends to have the best interest of football in mind. And sometimes because of that, he gets it wrong and makes the wrong decision when the best interest should be in something else. Rob Manfred's best interest has been the pocketbook of the owners, not baseball, not the future of baseball, certainly not the fans in some instances, and certainly not the players or their families in some instances. It's been in the pocketbook of the baseball owner, and that's what happened the other day, and that's why what happened the other day was allowed to happen, is a baseball game and playing that baseball game was allowed to be put in front of the health of the guys that are on that team. And that's the issue. That's the departure from leadership that we've seen from him, and that's the problem.
I feel like a commissioner has two goals. You serve at the behest of the owners, but you also serve as a steward of the game. And we talked about this earlier. The best people who have done that blur those lines and don't make them rigid. And I feel like the one thing that Roger Goodell, if there is a positive thing to say about him, is that for the most part, again, 2011, kind of on the outside of that, the best part about that is he knows that. And I feel like he doesn't not only serve at the behest of the owners, he also creates a bridge with the players. There's a reason why Roger Goodell at the NFL draft gets the bro hugs. Like it's because the players who have talked to the rookies tell them, hey, you know, this guy has our back. This guy is out here to at least give us some sort of confidence moving forward in the direction of where the game is. Now, it always hasn't been right. There have always been some issues when it comes to labor practices and things of that nature in terms of the NFL, but he's looking a heck of a lot better than Rob Manfred is right now. And to say that the position right now between the players and owners is acrimonious, that's a starting point. Okay, there's a lot of just bad blood between those two sides right now, and it's going to rear its ugly head in 2021 when we get back to the bargaining table. It just, I don't see how anybody can look at baseball and say, hey, they've handled this the right way, they've handled this properly, because I think it's absolutely ludicrous what's going on right now.
That said, and just to play devil's advocate slightly, and look, I am not a fan of Rob Manfred, to be sure. This is unprecedented. I mean, there's no handbook for how to deal with this. I know they tried to write their own 101-page handbook and all of that to try to get this thing done. I think it's easier to say that Roger Goodell has done a good job with this, having not actually had to have the teams together yet, having not actually had to play any games yet. And once we see how Roger Goodell and the NFL handle positive tests the week of games, it's not going to surprise me if Roger Goodell tries to get stars on the field in creative ways once the season actually starts. Now, I'm not saying that Rob Manfred had much to do with what the Marlins did the other day. That was just poorly handled by the Marlins organization, and it should have never been allowed to get to that point. But Rob Manfred is the one, when we're talking about major American sports right now, that has had to play games. Like, what's going on right now in the NBA is a bubble, and they're doing their best. And look, Zion got a different treatment than Lou Williams did and all that, and that's kind of fun to make fun of. But they haven't played games yet either. Mm-hmm. Plus, the NBA is in a bubble, so I think they're in a different situation. I'm gonna reserve judgment on Goodell fully until we actually get to game weeks and see how he's blurring the lines to get guys on the field as well, because I think he will do that.
Well, just to play the other side of this again, Andy, you said there isn't a handbook on how to do this. Well, there is a guide. We have a guide, and the guide is the MLS and the NBA. I mean, yeah, they had some outlying issues, like what happened with the two teams that got kicked out of Orlando in soccer, and probably the higher than expected intake test when it comes to the NBA. But they've struck down with harsh policies, and for the most part, the players have kept to it. The MLS hasn't had a positive test, and I don't have the numbers in front of me, but it's been weeks.
Yeah,
they haven't had a positive test in weeks, and the NBA is reporting back positive results as well. So to say that there wasn't a handbook, no, the handbook was bubbles. The handbook was bubbles, and the players, for whatever reason, didn't want it, and that's on them. They get a lot of criticism, and I don't think they're getting enough criticism for how they didn't want to do a bubble. But the fact of the matter is, if Rob Manfred cared at all about his perception and the perception of the game, they would have pushed harder for it.
Right, and that's a great point. The leagues that have bubbles seem to be managing this the best. Not surprisingly, they've got a bubble. Like, you're not interacting with the rest of society where the positive tests are skyrocketing. But they don't. They don't have one. So they've got to find ways to manage that. My thinking is just this, because again, we all get very, very prisoner of the moment with some of this stuff. The reaction yesterday and even today about the Marlins and their positive tests is very similar to the reaction when Dallas FC had all their positive tests. The reaction immediately on social media was, oh, shut down the tournament. There's going to be no MLS's back tournament. We're not going to be able to do this. Sports are canceled. Everything's terrible. And it wasn't. They made them leave, and they continued on, and, well, the MLS's back tournament is still happening. Not for Atlanta United, but it's still happening for the teams that won enough games to be able to keep going. It's possible that this is the same thing with the Miami Marlins. It's possible that it's because it happened yesterday that everyone decided baseball was canceled and the season wasn't going to go on anymore, that it'll be the same thing. They shut the games down. They postpone them for however long they need to postpone them for. And it's a reminder that everyone needs to be very, very careful, because it's not that different. The reaction yesterday to the Marlins story was the same thing as the reaction to the Dallas story. Hopefully the outcome is the same. That's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah, I mean, I just will say again, as a response to that, they extracted FC Dallas. They extracted Nashville. They eliminated the dependent variable, if you will. They just said, you know what? We're just going to just eliminate them from the situation. I'm not saying that's what has to happen for the Marlins, but you're also dealing with factors that the MLS didn't have to deal with, which in terms of travel and the fact that you have these players who, again, I keep saying this, there are actionable consequences in these other leagues. There really aren't in Major League Baseball, other than you catch the COVID-19 virus and you sit out for whatever quarantine period it is. That shouldn't be the only actionable consequence that they're facing if they step out of line. That's my only opinion.
No, I agree. And I think that they should have had better guidelines in place from the very beginning. It doesn't mean they can't change them now. I don't know if they would bargain that. Last time they tried to bargain anything, it took 2.5 months, right, which was a disaster. I don't know. I don't know if this goes on long enough and you say the Marlins can't play anymore.
We have another Patriot who just opted out.
Who?
Patrick Chung.
It's another name. Again, not the marquee name, but still another name. So the New England Patriots are dropping like flies for whatever reason. That franchise is one that has had six players now decide that they're not going to be a part of this upcoming NFL season. Again, I think that the situation was allowed to get to this point because the guidelines that were put in place were not great. Actionable consequences, as you say. You're right. There should be fines. There should be whatever baseball could have done to try to stop it from getting to this point. It's crazy that it did. I'm just hopeful that this serves as a warning and everyone's more careful going forward, because no one wants sports to be canceled. Like, that's the weird myth of yesterday. Just because there's people in sports media talking about it and reacting negatively to it and saying, uh-oh, this is scary, doesn't mean anyone wants it done. everyone wants sports to happen. They just want them to happen safely, and that's the difficult part of right now is trying to figure out how. The Wendy Zone coming up next. We'll go back into the Orlando bubble. Will had some Magic City wings yesterday. We'll find out how they were. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Now you can listen to The Game anywhere in the world. Just go to radio.com and stream us anytime.
Using the internet.
Stay connected to Atlanta sports 24/7. Only at radio.com and the radio.com app. Streaming live now. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Be respectful of Wendy. She's a lady, all right?
She's a lady.
Behold, a lady.
I'm a lady.
It's time for a look at the world of sports, celebrities, and more. This is the Wendy Zone on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
When you're not hungry, you become average.
Brought to you by Wellstar. More than health care, it's people care. The Wendy Zone every single day at 11:40. Wendy, I've got a story that I think will make you happy, speaking of being hungry.
Ooh, okay.
And not average.
I'm a big fan of food.
By 2:15 yesterday afternoon, I had consumed an entire Red Baron pizza.
Cool. What? Red Baron, very underrated.
Pretty good.
It's really good. Well,
I almost prefer oven pizza. I like thin crust.
Well, they make a good thin crust, but it's like a different kind of thin crust. I don't know. It just tastes really good. I almost prefer it over like the delivery pizza chains.
Yeah.
I don't know. And over DiGiorno. It just depends how I'm feeling.
I thought you'd be proud of me.
Red Baron is better than delivery chains, I would say, yeah.
I could eat a whole Red Baron in one sitting. I'm not embarrassed to admit it, but yes, I have, or maybe I have before. I've eaten
again, there's nothing embarrassing about that. If you're not hungry, you're average, so you're clearly not average.
It comes from experience.
Own it, Wendy.
All right, well, speaking of food, let's jump right into everyone's favorite hot topic leading up to the NBA season.
NBA Bubble Burst, the latest news popping out of Orlando.
All right. I still love that. It makes my heart so happy.
So good.
And I really hope the drama continues when the season actually gets underway. So I told you yesterday, Lou Williams having to quarantine for 10 days instead of 4 days after he stopped into Magic City for the delicious wings, not to see the dancers, but he said it was to eat the delicious wings. And now he's having to fire back at the people who are criticizing him. One is Kendrick Perkins. So Kendrick Perkins on Get Up on ESPN had this to say, essentially calling Lou Williams immature and more immature than Zion Williams while out of the NBA bubble.
Listen, I'm a big guy. I love to eat. I done been to Magic City. The wings are fire. But in this case, in all seriousness, come on, Lou Will, you got to do better, man. During this pandemic, you have to do better. You know, going back into the bubble and just looking inside the bubble, they had zero cases. Tested 300 and had zero cases. The NBA, the Players Association, has done a great job by putting together this billion-dollar bubble and keeping everyone safe. Lou, you got to do a better job. And it's crazy, Greeny, because here it is. Lou Will is a 16-year vet. He knows better. He should know how to be more mature. You got a guy that's a rookie in Zion Williamson who left for a family issue. And he handled it way better than Lou. We didn't hear a word. He went down, took care of his business with his family. Now he's back to the bubble. And on another note, it just adds another distraction for the Clippers.
So that was Kendrick Perkins on ESPN Get Up about Lou Williams calling him immature. And this was Lou Williams' response on Twitter. He said, 15 years in the business, and the most dirt you have on my name is stopping to get hot wings during a pandemic. Perk, shut up and stop laughing and saying it's just TV when you run into me, too. He goes, but I digress. I went home to see a man off to his final resting place. He was in Atlanta to see to pay tribute to one of his friend's fathers who unfortunately passed away. But Perkins giving him a hard time for getting hot wings now. I know our very own Willie P went yesterday to test out these hot wings because Willie P had never had the Magic City hot wings before. And Will, once you give your review, I just want to call you out for the type of wings that you got. But go ahead and give your review of those Magic City hot wings.
Well, I didn't get the lemon pepper because my palate is more of a buffalo hot type person, and I went all drums. I feel like that was a mistake.
It was
just because my whole thing is again, they were just small. I wanted more. It wasn't that they were bad. They tasted good, and I could see that they're not screwing around. I also feel like by getting them on DoorDash or Grubhub, I was robbed of the full experience that Chris Kirschner got when
yeah.
he wrote the, the Pulitzer level piece.
No, we'll talk about that in a
the
second.
The Pulitzer level
to
piece.
To say you didn't get the full experience by ordering them on Grubhub is the understatement of the century.
Well, again, that wasn't my goal. My goal was to basically find out if Lou Williams' claim was correct, like that these wings
yes.
were worth going into a quarantine for 10 days and missing two games and losing two game checks. And to which I'd say that they are good, but as far as being a larger part of the full experience, I'm guessing that he wasn't there just for the wings. That was what I was trying to prove. I wasn't trying to prove necessarily whether the wings were good or not. I felt like they were going to be good, and they were. But I also feel like you needed all the other stuff that comes with being at Magic City to enjoy them properly.
Wrong, right?
Indifferent?
No, I disagree with you, Will, because first of all, your mistake was getting all drums. You should have gotten the flats as well. You should have had a good mix of both, because I feel like you do sometimes get more meat with when you get the flats. But I want to go off what Chris Kirschner, who covers the Atlanta Hawks for The Athletic, and the Hawks aren't doing anything right now, so he had to do some investigative journalism on Lou Williams. And I'm just going to read you the headline and just a little excerpt from the beginning of the article that he wrote in The Athletic. This is simply the headline from Chris Kirschner of The Athletic. It's the Magic, baby. Lou Williams was right about Magic City's wings. And this is the first paragraph or couple paragraphs. He goes in his article, Tropical Delight saw me writing in my notepad and tilted her head quizzically. She strolled over to my table in her stilettos, a hot halter top tied in the front, and blue G-string. Quote, why are you taking notes? Are you grading my looks? Close quote, she playfully asked. No, I came through Magic City on a Monday to grade the chicken wings that forced Los Angeles Clippers guard Lou Williams to quarantine for 10 days when he got back to the Orlando bubble because he claimed he went to Magic City for the wings. Now, if that's not the best piece of investigative journalism during quarantine and COVID-19, I don't know what else is.
Yeah,
I will fully submit that he did a better job at the Magic City journalisming than I did. I'll tell you that right now. He did the step further that I wasn't willing to do. So I will give him full props and full marks on that.
Yeah, and now back to the original sort of crux of the debate and the time that he's going to have to quarantine and whether or not he was being immature and all of that, like Kendrick Perkins is saying that he was. I don't know if it makes him immature.
It doesn't.
I do think that it's a little, because again, we talked about this yesterday, like through the prism of Atlanta, stopping at Magic City to get wings is no big deal. Like that's something that people do. Like it's a totally reasonable thing. And I think a lot of people here hear what Lou Williams said and don't think twice about it. Like, yeah, okay, yeah, you
of
went
course.
There to get some wings. They got great wings. But the NBA does not function through the prism of Atlanta. It functions through the prism of a player left the bubble and went to a strip club. Like the self-awareness is something we talk about a lot on this show. And unfortunately, it was lacked a little bit of self-awareness. And again, he didn't promote it. He wasn't trying to tell people he was there.
Mask.
He stopped in and he wore a mask and he tried to get some wings and get out of there. It sucks that somebody took a picture of him and put it on social media. I'm not surprised that the reaction was what it was. Like, because again, most people don't live in Atlanta. Most people don't think about it the way that we think about it. The NBA sees a player leave the bubble and go to a strip club, and then, you know, they get mad about it.
I was never mad about him going and getting wings from a strip club. I was mad that somebody snitched on him. Like, that's the part of it that makes me mad. I'd be more pissed about Mr. Harlow doing what he did. By the way, has Kendrick Perkins burned, like, every bridge that he's ever had right now? Because, like, he burns more bridges than Napoleon.
Yeah, he's pretty honest with his takes on TV, which I like. Ooh. He doesn't pull any punches. I hate when guys retire from the league and they want to protect all their friends. Kendrick Perkins is funny. All right,
he's protecting nobody now.
We'll get to the most important audio in the world to kick off the noon hour. Lots to get to. Lots going on. Players in the NFL opting out of the NFL season. Not great. We'll keep you updated on that as the noon hour approaches. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.